This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
The good and the bad of the sequester.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
From APM in New York, hello, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update for Friday, the first day of March. And we're going to start with the big news, of course, here today, the sequester. We have reached the day that those billions of dollars in budget cuts go into effect. And joining us now to discuss is Chris Lowe. He's chief economist with FTN Financial, and he joins us as he does every Friday. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Chris, I want to do sort of a good and the bad with you here. Let's start with the bad. There have been a lot of warnings about what this sequester means across the economy. Lay out the sort of doomsday scenario as you see it.
Well, look, the ugly truth is that we're cutting spending pretty deeply on a fairly narrow part of the budget. And what that means is that there are some programs that are really going to feel the pinch. The biggest hit is going to be defense spending.
Right.
And that's partly because defense spending was cut a ton last year. But there's also block grants to the states. These are used primarily for programs that help low-income people. And we all know what's happened to state finances in the last 5 years. It's going to be really tough to keep those programs going at the same speed they were.
And does that kind of thing have an economic impact? I mean, will we feel that? Will we see that in the numbers?
Well, it does, but the economic impact's going to be pretty small. The spending cut is $85 billion. That's about 2% of the budget. But the way it works out, the government has a lot of long-term contracts, so it's going to come in gradually over a period of months. And in fact, between now and the end of the fiscal year in September, the actual spending cuts are only about $42 billion.
All right. Well, lay out the bright side now for us, if there is one here. Is there a bright side to cutting spending like this? At least you're bringing the deficit down in the short term, right?
Oh, no, that's right. And actually, that's absolutely necessary. Even the most powerful country in the world can only borrow so much money before interest rates go up, and that would hurt everybody. Our deficit right now is about 8% of GDP. That is absolutely not sustainable. The only way to tackle that is tax increases and spending cuts. We've already increased taxes by $300 billion. Now we're cutting spending by about a third of that. And in that sense, it's a rational thing to do.
Although there have been larger spending cuts over the last few years, right?
Well, that's right. And this is one of the real problems with the way this is being implemented. When you look at spending by the federal government, there really hasn't been any increase in discretionary spending. And that means a lot of the things that we care about, because it's investment in the future or taking care of the poor, the money there isn't going up. What is growing in the budget is entitlement spending. But I'm afraid, our government just is not functional enough to tackle that part of the budget yet.
Chris Lowe, chief economist with FTN Financial, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, the founder of Groupon is out of a job this morning. Andrew Mason was fired as CEO by the company's board yesterday, and he's not the first founder turned CEO to lose his job, as Marketplace's David Gura reports.
The charismatic founder, the ideas man, builds up a business, and then
some kind of infrastructure is needed, and clearly that was the case here.
James Abruzzo teaches leadership at the Rutgers Business School. He says the same thing happened to Steve Jobs. Apple's board forced him out in the mid-80s. Something similar happened at Yahoo. Jerry Yang started that company, and when he was CEO, he opposed a takeover bid from Microsoft. That was it. Jeffrey Sonnenfeld is a dean at the Yale School of Management. He remembers Polaroid founder Ed Land's last days as CEO.
Analysts are saying, well, how about the bottom line? He said the bottom line is in heaven.
Founders who become executives have vision, that's a given, but management consultant Peter Cohen says they can be blinded by that.
They think, I created this thing, I'm the only one who can run it.
And the fact is, Cohen says, no one is irreplaceable. I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
The finance minister of India has announced plans to set up the country's first ever bank just for women. The BBC's Rahul Tandon reports from Calcutta.
I'm outside a bank. There are lots of male and female customers queuing here. Many of them are looking for loans to set up new companies. But soon, the ladies in front of me will have a new avenue of funds, as the government is setting up a bank just for them. They hope it will help women establish businesses and give them financial independence. But not everyone's a fan. Reena Nag spent her life working in a bank like this.
No. I feel it's very cheap and meaningless gimmick. I find it very strange. I never felt unsafe in a mixed bank. I don't think it is necessary.
Women's rights have been at the center of a heated debate in India following the gang rape and murder of a 23-year-old in Delhi last year. The government's hoping that the $200 million it's investing to set up the bank signals a commitment to women's issues and helps produce a new generation of Indian businesswomen. In Calcutta, I'm the BBC's Rahul Tandon for Marketplace.
And finally, today is March 1st, 2013, or as we write here in the U.S., 3113. It's a palindrome day, which for those of you who slept through the first grade means it reads the same backwards and forwards. Which brings me to some of the best. Race car, or a man, a plan, a canal, Panama, those are famous ones. Was it a car or a cat I saw? And my favorite, go hang a salami, I'm a lasagna hog. If you've got a better palindrome, go to the Marketplace Facebook page and let us know what it is. Or you can tweet them at me. I'm at Jeremy Hobson on Twitter. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.